Let's take our positions. Welcome, ma'am.
Thank you.
Few things that we are going to do. You will introduce yourself and summarize your work experience and qualifications. If there is something around your security issues, then you can tell us credit issues, but you don't appear because we've done that check. And maybe if you want to tell us about your conflict of interest in the sector, just be open with us on those matters. We deal with question and answer for each member, 6 minutes. So you share 6 minutes with members. We share 6 minutes with members. So you'll have to be very direct in terms of your response. Over to you. Your 5 minutes, your 6 minutes starts.
My 6 minutes starts now. So, Mike Skinner, and I have worked in the development and communication sector for close on 25 years. So I've worked in the trade union movement, and I've worked in NGOs and civil society. I have also actually worked for government, and I've worked in the industry in terms of two production houses. I also played quite a major role in terms of starting the SOS Support Public Broadcasting Coalition, which is a civil society coalition looking at public broadcasting issues, but also actually issues around ICASA. And then just to say that in terms of my university qualifications, I have got a master's in media policy. So I looked at the, in terms of my dissertation, the Media Development and Diversity Agency, the establishment of it. And I have recently handed in my PhD, and I was looking at the SBC in the digital environment, so looking at it in the multi-channel, multi-platform environment. And maybe just the last thing to say is that I have had quite a lot of experience with ICASA. I've actually sat on one of the committees, the Digital Television Content Advisory Group, and I presented to ICASA on their various DTT regulations. So yes, I've had quite a lot to do with ICASA and quite a lot to do with media ICT policies over the years.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Mrs. Skinner. All right. Can we start with Honourable Modisha again?
I must indicate, Chair, that I'm in an unfortunate position because she did work with me at some stage in the trade union movement. But let me check. ICASA is responsible for regulating the telecommunication, the broadcasting, and postal industries in the public interest to ensure effective service of high quality for South Africans. I'm sure you actually know that. Now, the question that I want to raise is, what in your opinion, does the term "in the public interest," actually imply in this instance? And how can ICASA ensure that this is achieved and maintained?
Thank you. So I think in the public interest for me means that it's in the interest of citizens that we need to ensure that the way that ICASA operates ensures that citizens get access to ICT services that are affordable and are quality services. And I think, you know, the ICASA does that in a number of different ways. So, for instance, it, you know, would play a role in terms of licensing of different players. It would also play a very important role in terms of monitoring and evaluating those licenses. So if there are particular license criteria, then they should ensure that those criteria are actually met. They also put out a number of regulations. And again, the role of the ICASA is to ensure that those regulations are adhered to. So I'll just give you a quick example. For instance, local content. Those local content regulations are, in fact, adhered to. And then maybe the final thing to say that also, I mean, another role of a ICASA is in terms of competition issues, ensuring that there is actual competition in all of those sectors, telecoms, you know, postal and broadcasting, to ensure that you then get quality services, innovation, and low and much lower costs.
Do you really think, I mean, if you could take it further, do you believe that there is sufficient competition in telecommunication, in broadcasting, in the postal industries? And if not, how can this competition be created to benefit the public? I mean, I've heard what you have said, but if you could take it further so that one could can understand.
I think there are huge problems in terms of competition. So if I specifically look at the broadcasting sector, for instance, look at the subscription broadcasting sector, I mean, there's a single player that has 98.1% of the market. I mean, that's a completely crazy situation. And, you know, and I mean, again, in terms of telecommunications, you've got very, very major players. And I think what needs to be done is that you need to actually use the Electronic Communications Act, which has an entire chapter, Chapter 10, on competition issues. And those competition inquiries should be held. And just one positive thing to say that, you know, if you look at the discussion document that has been put out on subscription broadcasting and issues around competition there, it is in fact a very good document. It does talk about a number of it has a number of recommendations around how to deal with competition issues in terms of subscription broadcasting.
You believe that telecommunications, broadcasting, and postal industries can contribute to the development of the to South Africa, to the development of South Africa, socially, economically, and otherwise. Do you think ICASA can do that?
I mean, I think it's absolutely critical for citizens to have access to information, and this ICT sector is about that. It's about citizens being able to participate in the industry, contribute to the industry, and actually be citizens that have access to information that makes them play that full role as citizens. And so I do think that the ICT industry is critical to citizenship and democracy.
Okay. Another option.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ms. Kinn, I just wanted to get some clarity on your current employment status. You're not formally employed in any place I can see that. So all these things that you've listed here, like the ICASA special, the Minister's special task team on broadcasting, the ICASA's digital content group, are all these things sort of done on a sort of contractual basis, or are you sort of outsourced? So are you actually paid by all of these people on a sort of regular basis? So you have a flexible income, should we say?
So just to explain that. So for instance, all the work on DTCAG and the work that I've done for like ministerial sort of commissions have all been volunteer work, and I've actually been there representing SOS. Where I've actually earned income is through doing a whole lot of different sort of work through, so for instance, I've been paid by Media Monitoring Africa to do work. I've been paid by various donors, Open Society Foundation to do work, the Friedrich Ebert Stiftung to do work. So yes, so I'm basically an independent consultant, and I'm paid by various donors and civil society organizations. But a lot of my work is volunteer work.
The pity would be that if we do appoint you to the council, you'll probably have to give all that up, which I think would be a great loss, but never mind, we'll move on. What I wanted to interrogate the idea of public broadcasting. How do you see it? What is it? What is its role? And is it being done effectively? And should it be vested in an entity? Or should it be changed to be a sort of license condition for anybody who actually broadcasts material, whether, you know, across the internet, through, you know, community radio, anything like that? What do you think public broadcasting should be?
So my understanding of public broadcasting is it plays a critical role, again, in terms of citizens. It is neither owned by the state or commercial operators. It plays that role of in between. It's interesting your question about do we need an institution, or could public broadcasting actually take place in terms of the commercial media sector, community media? And my sense is that what you need is that you do need a particular institution that safeguards public broadcasting. But that's not to say that the other tiers of broadcasting also have a critical public role. So, for instance, commercial media has to play the role of local content issues, news and current affairs, etc. Community media obviously plays a very important public role as well. So, but I do still believe in an institution that safeguards that space. And therefore, I would have a different view from, say, for instance, Professor Faree from UNISA, who puts forward the view of that public broadcasting can be done across any and all media.
And then, you've been on the other side of ICASA, of the council. What have you seen from your perspective has been wrong with the management of ICASA, the council? And if you became a councillor, what would you change?
I think for me, one of the things that has been most worrying has been the kind of monitoring and evaluation. So, for instance, a lot of the work that I've done around local content has been very depressing, because there are all these local content regulations in place, and yet they are not, ICASA doesn't play the role in terms of ensuring that they are actually implemented. And so one of the things I would be really keen on doing is ensuring that monitoring and evaluation actually happens, because ICASA is powerful, but it's not powerful if it doesn't follow through.
How would you make it follow through?
I think one of the issues then is around the particular staff that are involved in monitoring and evaluation, but also I think that there are particular computer systems. So, for instance, we were told the civil society that particular systems had been put in place to do the monitoring and evaluation, computer systems, but it never seemed that those systems ever worked. And so my sense is that what I would do immediately would be to look at those computer systems, look at what the problems are in terms of them, not functioning effectively, and also look at the people that operate in that department. What are, in fact, the issues? And it's difficult from outside to know what the issues are, but I know that we have been raising these over a period of about 10 years.
Thank you very much, members. Ms. Honorable Lozi, what I want to raise is that after Mrs. Kenna, there is only one candidate. I suggest that we proceed with that candidate and break 14 after that. Honorable Lozi? Are you dying? Oh, yes. Everybody sneezed. Okay. All right. Can we continue? And then,
I have a problem with white monopoly capitalism in the sector. What is your take on that?
So I agree with you. I mean, I think if you look at the role that NASPAS has played in terms of the broadcasting sector, they have played, they're in a number of ways a very innovative company, but the fact is that they have played a role where there is no possibility for other subscription broadcasters, or almost no possibility for other subscription broadcasters to survive.
So what is the solution?
The solution, I think, actually comes out of the subscription broadcasting discussion paper on competition issues, and there's some very interesting recommendations that come out of that. Now, of course, it's just a discussion paper now, but So for instance, some of the things they talk about is the access to premium content and the fact that they literally hoard those rights, saying that
they can't.
But there's more than that. Can I tell one more thing?
No, the resolution of, like for an example, there is a big regulation of the price of bread in South Africa because they couldn't resolve the competition question. So they tell the bread producers that you can't sell bread above this much. Do you think that might be one of the important solutions to this sector?
I think would be the most important issue is to actually make the DSTV box a box that was available to a number of different subscribers. I think the key issue is interoperability and ensuring that you could literally put different cards in it, and so people wouldn't have to buy a new box, but they could, you know, new subscription broadcasters could utilize that infrastructure, and that is actually one of the recommendations.
But we still have just two. We still have like a huge actor called DSTV and two other small players. That doesn't resolve the question, does it?
Does for future subscription broadcasters, because it would allow those ones, because the big issue is that when you've got new subscription broadcasters coming in.
Okay, Ms. Kina, do you really think for the last 20 years the problem is the set-top box or the subscription box? That's why there are no other players except Kuo's Becker.
I think there are a number of reasons. So I think the one issue is definitely that box. But I think some of the other issues are, for instance, regulations around advertising. So, for instance, if you look at it, the regulations basically state that a subscription broadcaster cannot get more money than the subscription funds. The issue is that they get so much subscription that it means that they can pretty much get the entire advertising budget. So if you started to look at regulations around advertising and you stated that, in fact, other broadcasters, free-to-air broadcasters, and maybe the new subscription broadcasters actually had access to more advertising, and you limited the amount of advertising, for instance, that LastPass DSTV could get, that would also be another way that could help the situation.
All right. So I want to test your view on two issues. One, in relation to that space. One is that actually DSTV, and in particular LastPass, have a huge capacity to lobby. That is what gets them to survive for that. So it's not the problems of regulation, it's political, that they are able to lobby properly politicians and council members. What is your reaction to that?
I think you're absolutely right. I think they do have unbelievable lobby power. I think the way
do you have examples?
Well, I think it was very interesting. So I think Minister Yunus Karim brought out some policies that were not acceptable to LastPass around the encryption of the set-top box. And it's very interesting to note that Yunus Karim, who had actually played a very positive role in terms of the communication sector, was no longer the minister, and that we had a new minister, Faith Mutambi.
So are you saying Faith Mutambi may have been lobbied by the LastPass?
I don't know. I haven't got any particular evidence around that. But it seems to me that she must have been lobbied, because it is interesting. If you look at the policy, it changed entirely from one which was looking at encryption as a key issue to no encryption.
Do you think
that
lobbying comes with a lot of money? And if so, how would you resist it?
Well, I think that what you need to do, there'll probably be a whole lot of different issues, but one of them is a very strong civil society. A second thing is very strong media that roots out, like an Amar Bangani, that roots out those issues around. And in fact, it's interesting, if you look at some of the reporting that Amar Bangani did around around the issues around the encryption and what happened with Yunus Karim, some of their reporting was, in fact, the best.
Final question. Shouldn't we just nationalize?
Your 5 minutes have expired.
Yeah, the last one, Honorable
quickly.
Deputy Vice Chairperson. Just the last one. What would your view be on nationalizing LastPass? I mean, it was created by apartheid. It has admitted its role in apartheid. It's linked to the Bruder Bond and all those destructive things. What would your view be to say, let's just nationalize it? 60% must be owned by maybe the community. a community trust that belongs to South Africans?
I think that's a very interesting idea. I'd have to think about it
first. Or the SABC. Nationalization of NSPAS, where SABC owns 60% of it. What would your view be?
You know what I think one of the big issues is the takeover of NSPAS in multi-choice in terms of the SABC and the archives. So one of the first things I would do is reverse that. And look at the way that NSPAS has played a very destructive role in terms of its role with the SABC. In terms of nationalizing NSPAS, that's an interesting thought. I'd have to think about it further.
Any question? No question, Honorable Kalako?
Chair, mine's just general questions. I have seen in your CV that you know the sector. You have written many papers and you have been involved in many committees drawing up the very act. But being a person like you on the sector, what do you think is a major problem of all you have been involved in, all these acts trying to transform and demonopolize the sector? What do you think is fundamentally a major obstacle in implementing that transformation? It was over 20-something years now, we're going for 24th. It have not been possible. The monster is still looking at us. What do you think is the problem?
If you're looking specifically at broadcasting, I mean, I think one of the big issues is political interference in terms of the SABC over a long period of time. And I think that if you, for instance, could turn the SABC into a Chapter 9 institution, and that would be one of the critical issues in terms of the SABC. I think the other one is just, and it's interesting, it's quite a simple issue. It's looking at the way that the executives are appointed. And if there was no ministerial interference, but in fact the board selected those three top posts, I think that would make a significant difference. And certainly civil society has been fighting for that.
Now, that was not my question. The question was on transformation of the whole communication sector what do you think, because you have touched this question now, what do you think must be the roles between the ICASA, the SABC, they are under one department, the other reports ICASA to both departments, telecoms and postal, and then communication. Do you think there is a problem, whereas the other is a regulator of the other?
So if I understand your question, you're saying, does it make sense to have actually split the departments into telecoms and postal, and then looking at broadcasting as a kind of separate one? My sense is that it is a problem. I would say that it's better to have, in terms of convergence issues, you would want a single regulator. And if you look at the Electronic Communications Act, it was a convergence act. And my sense is that it creates, it's less powerful to have two different departments. And now, of course, on the agenda is the idea that we should have two different regulators. And I think it would be stronger to have a single regulator.
On the independence of ICASA vis-a-vis the shareholder which represent government, what is your, and also on the independence of ICASA from the influence by the industry?
I think one of the critical things is that often people talk a lot about government and the influence of government over the regulator, but I think equally it's the big player. So if you look at, the NSPAS, MTN, Vocom, etc., I think they've got huge influence. And I think that what you've got to make sure is that they don't. I think one of the key issues would be to ensure that ICASA, it is a Chapter 9 institution, but just to clarify that, it needs to be listed in Chapter 9 of the Constitution. And I think also we shouldn't only be talking about broadcasting being protected by the Constitution, but electronic communications broadly.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. So you say it must be part of Chapter 9 institutions. Were you saying why?
I think it makes sense for it to, so one of the roles of a Chapter 9 institution is to ensure that the Constitution is strengthened and the constitutional rights and issues are strengthened. And I think that ICASA plays that critical role. And also it would be one of the ways to ensure that it was more independent both from your major commercial players and from government. And I think that's what makes the regulator powerful. And so for those reasons, I would say a Chapter 9 institution is important.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
What is your relationship to Honorable Madisha?
No, it was explained. They worked together some time ago.
He
was the president of
the Honorable Santa Claus. What is your relationship with him?
When I was president.
Honorable Madisha, I'm on platform.
No.
Honorable Madisha. Thanks for the response.
No. It's out of order.
If you are going back to Johannesburg, go well. I'm sure you know the processes will hear. At the end of the process.
Why are you getting shy about this question, Honorable Madish?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
sir. Thank you very much.
Masangwane.
The one this week, the one this week.
Are they done with explaining? Oh, okay. Thank you very much. And welcome to the panel. What's the introduction say?